All right. Thank you, Will. Good morning, fellowship. Good to be with you guys. My name is Rob Sweet. If you're new, excuse me, I'd love to meet you. Come down front sometime, say hello. I'd love to put a name with a face, even if you're not new, but we've never met. I'd love to do that. Let me also say, if you're new to fellowship, we have two primary teachers, myself and Lloyd Shadrach. We have two campuses. We teach live at both campuses and switch back and forth. So every other week, you'll have me and then Lloyd, and then me and then Lloyd. This is our little trick when you're visiting to get you to come back at least one more time so you can get a real sense of things here. But we're starting a series for guess how many days? Guess how many, right? In this 28-day series, we're going to do something very special together, and I'm going to explain that as I go through the message this morning. It's very similar to something we did last year, a different series, but similar format. And I want to get into the reason why we're doing that. And before I get into all that, let me just tell you a little story. I was thinking about my year last year, 2025. You know, the new year's time we reflect, right? We look ahead, we look back. Something pretty remarkable happened to me in November. And I didn't, it wasn't something that you would think was remarkable, but as I've processed it, it really is. I was sitting in the DMV of all places in Franklin with my youngest daughter trying to get her learner's permit. By the way, we had to go to the DMV three different times. We didn't have the right paperwork. And every time you go, you're sitting in there for like 3 hours. It was not a good thing. But in one of the times we're sitting in the DMV, it was November of this last year, I was browsing through my email and I had an email that came in and it said, the title was Greetings from November 2005. That's weird. So I clicked on it. Okay, that's how they get you. But this was real. This was real. And here's what it said. The little introduction of this email said, in the fall of 2005, you sent a letter to the future via an email time capsule created by Forbes. 20 years later, we're happy to partner with Scientific American to deliver the message. See your email below. It's like, okay. And when I read that, I had a memory of 20 years earlier, writing an email to myself. I had no memory of what I said. I just kind of had this memory of like, maybe I'd get this email in 20 years. And I thought, wow, it's actually here. So let me read you what I said, just part of this email. If this gets to you, I'll be pretty impressed. I'm sitting here in Marietta, Georgia on November 23rd, 2005, the day before Thanksgiving, and saw this ad for an email time capsule. If you're getting this on time, it is 2025 and you're 50 years old. Exclamation point. Wow. Exclamation point. And y'all, I remember what it's like as a 30-year-old to think of 50-year-olds. 50-year-olds seem so old, like ancient. It's like, that's toward the end of my life is what I felt like in a 30. And now I feel very differently. What to say? I've been married to Jody for 4.5 years now. Ansley just turned 1, and we leave for Dallas in about 6 months. It's an exciting time of life for us and a great one. Let me jump in and say what was going on then. We'd lived in the Atlanta area for 7 years while I was working at Chick-fil-A corporate right out of college, and I was about to leave that job, move to Dallas, Texas to go to seminary to prepare to become a pastor. It was a very significant time for us. I went on to say, I'm sure in the 20 years between now and then, a lifetime of things have happened. I'm sure you've had much joy and much tragedy and pain. I hope that you're still able to know that God is faithful. And it was at this point in the email that I kind of had to sort of turn away from where my daughter was sitting next to me because I was tearing up. Because I could look back on those 20 years and know that God is faithful. And I kept reading and I went on. I'm going to skip through most of this because it's really long. I described some of my hopes and dreams, some of which came true, some didn't. I described what life was like right now, what was happening in my family, my extended family, what personally was going on. I talked about the cars that we own and the price of gas. I don't know why I thought I would care about that in 20 years. And then I ended the email this way. Well, Ansley just woke up from her nap, and Jody just called She's on her way home from the grocery store. We're hosting Thanksgiving here tomorrow for the first time ever. She's got a little notebook made up with the menu and all the recipes. I think it's time for me to get back to my life. Yes, I will enjoy the next 20 years. I hope you live the following 20 for the Lord. Blessings to you, Rob. And there I was at the DMV, ambushed by an email to myself from my former self. There was something about hearing those words that took me back. I remember thinking about life ahead of me, what I was hoping for. And I thought about now, looking back and looking ahead, life in front of me, what am I hoping for? And I thought, I'm going to share this story the first Sunday in January with our church, because this is the time of year where we think about these things. The passage of time does something in us to make us reflect. And I think, yes, it does feel like a fresh start, but I also think part of what New Year stirs in us is life is short. Life is short. What do I really think life consists of? Like, what do I really want out of life? How's it going? Am I making progress? Are things moving in a good direction, in a bad direction? Are the dreams and hopes coming true or not? We start making resolutions, you know, and it's these resolutions, these desires to be healthier, or be more connected relationally, have better habits. And these are all really good things, but I want to tell you all, they come from something even deeper inside of us. The book of Ecclesiastes says, God put eternity in our hearts. Well, what does that even mean? It means there's something in us that has this longing for a life that's not time-bound, a life that goes on and on and on, but it's not just the duration of life we long for, it's the quality of life we long for, it's the substance of life we long for. We want to feel more alive. We don't just want to keep going and going. We want to feel more purposeful. We want to feel more healthy. We want to feel more connected. And these are good things because God put these desires in us. He put eternity in our hearts. Into the middle of the human race's collective struggle for fullness of life, Jesus came. And he came and he made this bold statement. I came so that you might have life and have it in abundance. And then not only that, but he went on to tell us where we're going to find life. And it's not where you think it is. For the next 28 days, we're going to be pursuing together as a church fullness of life. And I don't mean that like a name it, claim it, prosperity gospel. We're going to be pursuing intimacy with the life source, the one who is life. We're going to be pursuing, if you can think about it this way, I know this sounds weird, we're going to be pursuing eternity because God's put eternity in our hearts. Now, what does that mean? Because we're not reaching eternity yet. We're all still alive. Well, eternal life doesn't have to wait until you're dead. This is what I want to talk about this morning. Now, when you came in, you got this book. I hope everyone did. I'm going to walk through it at the end so you know what to expect. You don't have to pull it out just right now, but I just wanted to say this is a guide, this is a journal to help us as a church, collectively, individually, we're going to be doing this, have real conversations with our Creator. Have two-way conversations with God. Talking to Him through prayer, listening to Him speak to us through His Word, and interacting around that. And I can't wait to tell you more. If you remember this from last year, if you were here last year, it would be familiar to you because we did it in January last year and we said that was one of the best things we did all year. We're coming back to it. We're coming back to it because we don't think there's a better way to start a new year than connecting with the life source himself. Conversation, you all, grows relationship. I don't know how you grow a relationship with God except having real conversations with him. Not religious mumbo jumbo. I'm talking about real life, real conversation, talking to God about what's happening in your heart, what's happening in your life. This is the opportunity we're going to seize in front of us in this 28-day series. Now, before I walk through all that, let me take you to two verses in John's gospel I just want to explain, I want to teach, I want to go over these together, and then we're going to apply them together in the next 28 days through this process. We'll put this on the screen. I want to encourage you also turn in your Bibles, John chapter 10, verse 10. This is where we're going to start this morning. A very well-known verse of Jesus. I referenced it even a minute ago, but let's dig deeper. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Here we see Jesus saying his entire purpose for coming to earth is to bring people like you and me into life, fullness of life. And he wasn't just talking about so that when you die, you can experience life. It's not what he's talking about. He's saying, beginning now with the arrival of Jesus, I've come to bring people into life, and not just life, but into a particular kind of life, abundant life. Now, that word, if you dig into it, it's translated sometimes abundant, it's translated fullness of life, it's overflowing life. It has this idea of like a spring, a wellspring that just never ends. It's an overflowing kind of life. That's what that means. I think it's interesting that he starts this sentence talking about a thief. This is a reference to the enemy of God. This is a reference to the deceiver. But it could also be a reference to many, many people in your life and in my life that actually want to steal, kill, and destroy. I'm not just talking about like the con artists that text you all the time trying to get you to put your security code so they can steal your money. Like, I went through that last year too, by the way. I'm not even talking about those guys. I'm talking about people who have good intentions around you, but they're so hungry and starving themselves that they're really just wanting stuff from you. See, Jesus is saying, I don't want something from you. I want something for you. And that puts him already in a very different human category than other people that we know. Jesus did not come to take from us, he's saying. He didn't come to restrict you. He didn't come to sort of steal life from you. So we have this idea, it's like, oh, following Jesus, I'm sure that's good from a religious perspective, but man, that's not any fun. You're following Jesus, you might think of it this way. Someday I'll get serious about God. I'll get serious about following Jesus, but right now, I just want to live. Who has not thought that? When we think that way, like someday I'll follow Jesus, right now I just want to live, we're misunderstanding Jesus. We're misunderstanding what he's about. We're misunderstanding what he's actually come to do. You see, life, there's something about Jesus that in him is life that is real life. In him is what's overflowing. In him is what we're actually longing for. Now, the logical question I hope your brain goes to is, well, okay, well, what does that life actually look like? Because I don't really believe, if we're honest, following Jesus feels like life, at least most of the time. So let's talk about what is abundant life? What is life actually? Jesus defines it for us in John 17, verse 3. So turn to the right in your Bible, seven chapters, and the context here is Jesus's final conversation with his collection of disciples around the supper table. This is the Passover feast, the night that he was going to be arrested. And he begins at the end of this meal with them. He prays a prayer to the Father, and he prays it out loud to let them in on it. And this is one of the things he says in that prayer, verse 3 of chapter 17. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. There are two words in this verse that I want to unpack for you to help you really understand what Jesus is saying here. The first word is eternal. When we hear eternal, at least in this context, you know, eternal life, we think about heaven. And that's not wrong. It's not totally wrong, but it's incomplete. Eternal in the Greek usually means something that doesn't have an end, but also doesn't have a beginning. Something that's outside of time. Eternity is not just life that will go on and on and on and on and on. It's the ultimate life. It's the essence of life. It's the source of life. So Jesus is not just talking about, here's the way that you can go to heaven when you die. It includes that, you all, but it's bigger than that. It's more than that. He's saying, here is life that is true life. Here's the source. Here's the essence. Before I go on with this verse, let me give you an analogy that might help. Think about a great underground spring that bubbles up to form the headwaters of a mighty river. That spring is the essence of the river. All the water of the river flows from there, you see. That spring, you might say, that spring's eternal. It has no beginning point. It's just always coming up. It has no ending point. That's the idea of eternal. Eternal life, this wellspring of life. Now, when you see it that way, you start realizing, oh, he's still talking about the same thing he talked about in John 10:10, the kind of life he came to bring us, this overflowing, abundant life. He's calling it eternal life. And yes, it is a reference to its duration. It will never end. That is true. But it's more than that. It's not just the duration. It's the substance. It's the essence. It's ultimate. It's life that is real, life that is true. And he says, here it is. Here's the definition of it. He goes on, that they know you. He's talking to his Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. He's talking about himself, me, whom you have sent. Now, the second word you need to understand in this verse is the word know. What does it mean to know God? The Greek word is gnosko. We've talked about this word in here before. It's an experiential knowledge. It's not just intellectual knowledge. It includes intellectual knowledge, but it goes beyond that to experience. When it's used in the context of a person, like knowing a person, and like it is in this case, it's a relational word. If you ask me if I know the Apostle Paul, I'd have to say no. No, I've never met the Apostle Paul. Now, I could give a long lecture about Paul. I know a lot about Paul. I don't know Paul. If you ask me if I know my brother Brian, oh yeah, we've talked. Like we've interacted. I know Brian. I don't know Paul. You see, now the kind of know that this is you personally know. You have an experiential knowledge of the only true God and Jesus Christ whom he sent. I think for a lot of us, this is most of my life, this is still me a lot of days today. The focus of my spirituality, the focus of my Christianity, the focus of my religion, if you want to call it that way, is knowing about God and knowing what God's word says. Such good things, such important foundational things that we need to focus on. But it's more about that sometimes and less about knowing God. We'll say, Rob, how can we know God? Can't see him. Sometimes I think when we talk about having a relationship with God, we just think it's like, oh, you know, I just study the Bible and my head is growing, you know, in my knowledge of God. But you all, that's not the same thing. It's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's not saying this is eternal life, that you have all the right doctrine and that you know all the right things about God and me, Jesus. He's saying, no, no, eternal life is knowing him. It's knowing him. It's relational. By the way, notice also it doesn't say knowing God is the way to eternal life. It says knowing God is eternal life. In other words, God's not a means to an end. Now, this is a massive paradigm shift that is taking me a long time to start thinking of it this way. Religion, even the Christian religion, the way it's mostly practiced, but really any religion, if you think about it, is sort of using God as a means to an end. Why did people bow down and worship idols, you know, in cultures, some cultures that still do? Why do they make sacrifices to idols? The idol of fertility, because they want that God to give them something. The idol of the rain, they want God to give rain, you see. They're using God transactionally. We can fall prey to that, you all, if you think, oh, I've got a relationship with God. Like, you know, I sing songs to him and I give money to the church and I read my Bible sometimes and he gives me eternal life. Isn't that a good thing? Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. He says, God is not a means to an end. Knowing God is the end. You all, this kind of relational, intimate relationship with God that Jesus is describing here, that he knew because he was experiencing it himself with the Father, that's the greatest thing in life. I'm not saying that because I know it all the time, I experience it all the time, but I've tasted it, guys. And it has taken me most of 50 years to have little tastes of it. I'm telling you, Jesus is being real with us. He was pointing to something greater. Think of it like this, okay? At the very center of the universe is the wellspring of life. And that spring is a personal, relational being who wants to have relationship with you. And that spring, that wellspring of personal, relational being that is the Trinity, that is God, he planted these little desires in our hearts for intimacy, for fullness, for peace, all these other things that we think we want. And then we spend our 70, 80 years, however long we live, trying to get that desire met through a marriage, through a career, through money, through security, through fashion, through entertainment, through all these other things. And you don't have to look far to say, oh, something broken in that system. I was reflecting on music recently, and you know, whether it's country music or rock music or folk music or whatever kind of music you like, the vast majority of songs out there are love songs. They're love songs. Sometimes I get tired of just love songs. Like, can't you write about something different other than love, you know, other than romantic love? And it occurred to me, why is that? I think romantic love is one of the most powerful desires we can have in our heart because our hearts are starving for someone to know us wholly and completely, and for us to give ourselves to a being who will love us. It's so deep within us, it just comes out in all of our music. Regardless of what religion a person is, they can't help, stuff's gonna come out of them. Do you see this? God has put eternity in our hearts. And Jesus says, you know what eternity is? It's me. It's knowing me, it's relating to me, it's connecting to me, it's doing life with me, being with me, not using me as a source for something that you want over here in life, but saying, I will come to you as my life. Now, I'm telling you all, that's not easy. It's not even easy to comprehend. Some of you out there are probably thinking, this guy is a little bit weird, okay? That's okay, because I can't be any other way than what I am. Is just as authentically as I can, just trying to speak to you of my own experience. It's not easy to connect to God in a way that feels like abundant life. But I'm telling you, it's worth pursuing. It's worth going after. And so that's why we're going to do this over the next 28 days together. This is all about us collectively and individually as a church pursuing real relationship with God. That's what this is. Have you ever realized that all of your desires, all of your earthly desires are shadows searching for substance? Jesus is saying, here's the substance. How do we connect with him? How do we relate to him? How do we even do this? It's gotta be more than just coming to church and reading my Bible. Okay, yes, yes it is. And that's why we designed this. So here's what I want you to do is I want everybody to pull this out now. And by the way, if you didn't get one on your way in, we'll have some ushers that'll come down. They'll have some, they'll hold them up in just a minute. I think we still have some ushers that are coming to do that. Yep, we're on it. And when someone comes down the aisle, if you need one of these, just put your hand up and we'll make sure we get one of these to you. Now, the first thing I actually want to ask you to do is put your name in it. Now, there's a space for that. And the reason I want you to do that is we find these every week. Like last year, we found them on week 3 and week 4, and they had such good stuff in them, but we didn't know who wrote it, so we couldn't get back. Got to get back to you. We'd love to get this back to you if you lose it. Now, turn to page 8. I just want to walk you through this and what the next 28 days will look like for us. There's a section called How to Use This Book. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you see what's in big, bold print in the middle there. Daily conversation with God. And what we're talking about here, y'all, is a two-way conversation. All right, the ushers are coming down now, so if you need one, just put your hand up and they'll get it to you. All right, a two-way conversation, guys. I don't know how to grow a relationship other than time spent in conversation with another person. Sharing what's real, sharing what's on your heart, listening to them speak back. Now you're like, that's really hard to do with God because God is invisible and we can't hear him speak to us audibly. At least that's not our normal experience, right? It's not. It's not our normal experience. But let me just walk you through. If you see there at the bottom of page 8, there's three little phrases. Come before God, listen to his word, respond to his voice. That's where we get come, listen, respond. That's the rhythm that we want to walk you in. So now look at page 9. You can see that example. I'll put it on the screen as well. This is just a simple pattern, a simple way where every day in these 28 days, or at least 5 days a week is how we have it structured, that you can have real, authentic, honest conversations with God, speaking to him through prayer and listening to him speak to you through his word. So just listen to these prompts. We spend a lot of time writing these because we think that they're written in a way to really help us talk to God. The first prompt under the come section, talk with God about what is on your heart as you come to him today. Not start your prayer with the right religious formula. Talk with God like he's a real person. He is. He's a person. Talk with him. Talk with him. What's on your heart? So it might be like you wake up in the morning, and it's whatever it is, or maybe you do this at night, whenever, afternoon, whenever you do it. You might just be like, God, I don't really want to be talking to you right now. This feels stupid to me. Write it. Now, he can handle that. Say, God, I'm angry at you. Or God, you just feel distant from me. Or God, I'm just heartbroken over the situation with my child or whatever it is. Just start there. Let me give you an example. This is from someone we had permission to use this, just an illustration, but it was a real entry from their journal. God, I come today exhausted. I'm angry about the conversation I had last night, wishing it were different. It's been the same thing for months. I'm not sure what to do. I'm afraid things will never change. And then what? I need your help. That's an honest way to start a conversation with God. And it doesn't have to be always hard. You know, some days you might be like, hey, God, I'm in a really good place this morning. I had a good night's sleep or whatever it is, or I'm hopeful about the day. Just be real is what we're trying to say. Now, this goes back, at least in my life, this goes back to when I was in high school. The only way I knew to talk to God, I was too ADD to just like close my eyes and pray. I had to write my prayers. And that's when my relationship with God started growing. And some of you have done this, some of you have never really done this. There's something about writing your prayer, even though God knows what's on your heart. There's something about writing it out that helps. I see one right back there. There's a couple down here. Carl, I'm pushing you all over the place. Sorry, man. We'll get to you, okay? Just keep your hand up. We'll get to you. All right, that's step one. Step two is the listen part. Now there's two prompts. You'll see a passage, and every day it'll be a different passage. And I'll tell you how those passages connect in a minute. But listen to this question. What was the author's main point of this passage? That's about understanding. God's word doesn't mean anything you want it to mean. God's word has a particular meaning in its context. The author had an intention for writing. So you're just going to write what's the author's main point. But listen to this next question. This is really important. What do you believe the Spirit is saying to you through this passage? Well, you say, well, the author didn't write this to me. This is where the scripture, guys, is amazing. We believe the scripture, all of it, is inspired, breathed out by God, by his Spirit. Guess where that Spirit lives right now? If you put your trust in Jesus, that Spirit lives in you. So God is actively speaking his word to you as you read it or as you hear it or as you study it. So you have to ask this question, not just what did it mean to the original audience, what does it mean to me? How is God actually, actively speaking to me? God's word, the scripture says, is living and active. And that's an important question. Let me give you the illustration from this person. What is the author's main point? Psalm 46, God is refuge, help, strength. There's no need to fear. What do I believe the Spirit's saying to me? This is an interesting question. Is God really my refuge? What else do I run to instead of him? I can rest and trust. I can bring my fear to him. Just applying it. You see, that's what that's all about. So that's the listen part of this. Then we go to the respond part. Two questions here. The first is talk with God about what he's saying to you. How do you want to respond? That's about application. But I want you to notice, it's not disconnected third person, I'm going to go do this. We start by talking to God about it. So let's talk to God about it. Here's the example. I'll run to you, Jesus. You're my refuge. You know, and right now there can be a struggle to be like, I don't know if I really believe that, but I'm going to put my faith in it. You are my help as I navigate this relationship, you know, the same relationship they had talked about earlier in the journal. I will bring you my fear and not run away from it to other things. Guys, when God speaks to you, he speaks for a purpose. He's wanting to accomplish something. He's wanting to do something in his relationship with you. And then this final prompt is just a closing prayer. Pray for your needs and the needs of other people the Spirit brings to your mind. Then close your time with gratitude for the gifts of today, big or small. This next one, we truncated a little bit, so it's not the whole thing. But God, you're my loving Father. In the midst of my anxiety and fear, help me be still and trust you. I open my hands to you and your plans with this relationship. Now, what I'd encourage you to in this prompt is then go on and pray for other people too. By the way that I use this is I'll just write people's initials. So when you all ask me to pray for you or prayer needs that I know of in my family or friends, I'll just put their initials and I'll pray for them as I write their initials. And then I'll move on to the next person. Sometimes I'll write out full prayers. Sometimes I just do it that way. So there's a lot of ways you can do it. And then I love this thing. We added this, close your time with gratitude. Y'all, this is about dependence. This is about recognizing that everything comes from him. And what are you grateful for in the midst of your need? What are you grateful for? What a good habit that is. Now, if you turn in your book to page 19, so there, by the way, there's 5 days of that same pattern. So think Monday through Friday, come, listen, respond every day. And then you get to Saturday, it's day 6. Page 19 gives you a weekly reflection. We've found that it's helpful. Just to think about the week. How is your relationship with God growing through these conversations? Now flip to page 20. You're gonna see there message notes. Next week, come back right here. Lloyd is gonna be teaching a message on the text that you've been studying this next week. So what you're reading every day is gonna lead up to the message that Lloyd will teach. Now, by the way, our theme for the next 4 services after today, 4 Sundays, is following Jesus. All the texts that we're gonna be in together these next 28 days are all about following Jesus. What does it mean to follow him? What did it look like for the disciples? What does it look like for you and me? It's because our mission as a church is following Jesus with our whole heart and helping others do the same. I'm excited to get into that together. And then turn the page again. You see on page 22, there's a blank space. If you're in a group, a men's group, women's group, fellowship group, or you just have a couple friends you wanna invite into this, here's some space for y'all to meet. By the way, there's a group or a leader template on page 11. If you're a leader in the room of a group, we encourage you to use that on page 11, and then the rest of the group members can take notes. And then that same pattern repeats itself for 4 weeks, so 28 days total. Come, listen, respond. Now, let me tell you why we're doing this and why we're really encouraging all you to do this. And yeah, I know, I have this sense as a pastor, I'm up here, I'm like, come on, do it, it's gonna be great. You know, you'll love it, whatever. Not all of y'all are gonna do it. I know that. But I am telling you, some of you are going to have relational breakthroughs with God in the next 28 days. I'm telling you, you absolutely will. It happened last year, it happens every time. And some others of you, you may not have breakthroughs, but you'll look back 28 days later and you'll be like, I am more connected to God than maybe I've ever been in my life. Because I've learned to have real conversations with him, and I'm starting to understand not just what the scripture says, but how God uses it to speak to me. Y'all, that could change you. I'm being very, very serious, so I can't encourage you enough. Dive in on this. So why are we doing this? Well, we could be about a lot of things as a church. And there are a lot of churches that are about a lot of different things. And I'm not here casting stones on anything else, but I will say this, what God has put very strongly in our hearts here at Fellowship is that this is real. This is true. It's actually true. And if it's real and true, you know what that means? Jesus is the center. Jesus is life. He came for us. And not just to give us a wonderful, incredible life after death, y'all, but there's something now that we have to direct our attention to. And it's almost like living in this world's like getting swept up in the matrix all the time. We just lose sight of what's real. And then it's like this, we pop back into the real world, the real life. And we're gonna live it together. Jesus is the center of this church. We will find no other fullness in life than connection to him. I believe I will bleed that out. I believe that with everything I am. And I will tell you, whatever your resolutions are, your themes or your verse, wonderful. Those are really good, healthy things. You will not find fullness of life in losing weight, sleeping better, connecting, doing less screen time, whatever it is your plans are, your resolutions. Go do those things, but fullness of life, you all, is in him. It's just in him, and we've got to know him. We've got to know him. And this is just a tool. It's just a tool to help us do that. All right, take out communion elements. And then we're gonna celebrate communion, we're gonna sing a song, and then we're gonna be out of here. But let me connect the dots to communion. We celebrate communion in our worship service every week. Now, we took a break from it during Advent because we had some other things, the Advent wreath and things that we wanted to turn our attention to, but this is a regular part of our liturgy. You can go ahead and pull that off the screen, Joe, if you're able to do that. I wanna say this. It's not just a ritual that we do. This is the thing that Jesus gave us to remind us that life is in him. I don't know if you've ever thought about the incredible symbolism of bread and drink. It's like all that you need. Now you're thinking, oh, this is not gonna fill me. This little wafer of a thing. You know, I'm gonna be just as hungry after I eat it as I will. We can treat religion that way sometimes. This is not gonna fill me. I'm gonna be just as hungry. But you know what, guys? This points you to the true substance. This points you to the life source. Jesus says, I'm the bread. I'm the bread. And then he invites us to consume him. Like, I've come here for you to consume me. In fact, he says, if you refuse to do that, if you won't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me. I've come to give myself to you. So receive life. See, that's why we do this. And if you're not a believer in Jesus, you can be a believer in Jesus in this very moment. Just put your trust in his life, his death, and his resurrection. It's for you. It's to bring you into real life. Let's receive the bread together with gratitude. Let's receive also the cup with gratitude. Jesus, we dare to believe in you. And I know I say this morning with many in this room, I believe and help my unbelief. Because for everybody right here, me included, all of our belief, all of our faith is just partial right now. There will be a day that it will be faith in full when we see you face to face. But for right now, we just have this little bit of faith, but you said it's enough. This little bit of faith's enough. So I pray for our body in these 28 days. Lord, would you help us to have real conversations with you? Would you speak things to people as they're hearing you speak to your word by your spirit? Will you speak things to people? And not to be weird, just to say, God's word was not just for the people 2,000 years ago. God's word is for us today. He will accomplish his will in our lives today, church. And so, Father, would that be true? Would that be true? And would you help us as we go? In the great name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.